Ted Wyman from the Winnipeg Sun joins us. Ted, who starts first tonight? Is it the Jets game?
Yeah, the Jets is on at 7 o'clock, and then the Bomber game starts at 7:30. And interestingly, the Jets game isn't on television because it's normally on TSN3, and that channel is showing the Blue Bombers game tonight. So it's actually just available online on TSN tonight. So certainly some fans scrambling, figuring out how they're going to get their fix in and watch both.
Now, let's start with the CFL and the Bombers, because they are the second hottest team in the CFL after the Calgary Stampeders. They almost beat them, and I want to go back to that final drive, Ted, and to me, I just thought they played way too prevent defense, way soft, allow Calgary in two plays to gain that many yards. What did they say about that after the game?
Exactly what you just said. I mean, realistically, they played that way almost the whole first half. They let the Stampeders used the middle of the field the whole first half. Mark-Ray McDaniel just burned them time after time again. And then they played great for most of the second half defensively, shut them down by taking away the middle of the field. And then on that last drive, they just played soft. It's like you said, they let Bo Levi Mitchell have the room, and the receivers had too much space, and they were able to gain enough yardage to get that long field goal. And a true heartbreaker for the Bombers, but you know, it's amazing. The CFL never ceases to amaze me that a quarterback can get the ball in his hands with 15 seconds left and score the winning points.
Well, it's what makes it so exciting, right? Rather than watching them kneel down with a minute 45 left and no timeouts. That's the one thing. Like, usually the final 2 minutes of the game are the most exciting part, except in the NFL. It's the one thing that I don't love about that league at all. Matt Nichols, people are like, oh my God, Matt Nichols is playing great. When I look at his numbers, I don't see them jumping off the charts at me, but I'm assuming he's just controlling the offense. How much of this turnaround is on the shoulders of Nichols?
Well, there's one number that really stands out for Matt Nichols, and that's two interceptions all year long. And you can't deny how important that is, the way he's taking care of the football. And, you know, obviously the entire winning streak for the Bombers, the whole turnaround of the season coincided with Mike O'Shea's decision to put Matt Nichols in at quarterback instead of Drew Willey. And really what I think Matt Nichols has done has been a very calming influence. He's playing within the system that Paul Appelbaum has designed as the offensive coordinator. He's obviously taking care of the ball. The players trust him. He is the leader of that offense. So you have to give him a lot of the credit for the fact that this has turned around. He's been a very big part of it.
Defensively, their secondary, do they have that much pressure up front that's allowing their secondary to get so many interceptions, or are they just a bunch of collective ball hawks?
A lot of real athletes back there, there's no question. But, you know, they haven't had immense pressure from the defensive line, to be honest. Jamal Westerman only has 5 sacks this year. He led the league with 17 last year. They didn't even come close to Bo Levi Mitchell last week. It wasn't even fair the way the Stampeders offensive line handled them. But these guys are real athletes, and they've done a tremendous job. And, you know, they've given up the second most yards in the entire league. So you can't say that they've been tremendous, that defensive secondary, but they've scored a lot of points. And every time they seem to pull off one of their interceptions, one of their turnovers, the Bombers have turned it into points. And that's really what has been the key to their success on this run. Every time they get something good happens defensively, the offense takes it and does something with it. And that just is really hard for other teams to deal with.
Ted Wyman joins us from the Winnipeg Sun, talking Blue Bombers and Jets, Eskimos, and Orders. We'll get to the Orders and the Jets in a second. Now, Ted, the Eskimos come in. Darius Bowman, obviously leading the league in receiving yards, and Walker's right there as well. This secondary, who are the matchups? Which guys do you think are going to get a lot of the one-on-one matchups in that secondary against those two?
Well, it'll move around a bit, especially for Walker, but I know Kevin Fogg is going to be looking after Bowman quite a bit. And that is one of the biggest tasks you're ever going to face in the Canadian Football League. Both those guys have been amazing. And as my colleague Kirk Penton wrote in his game day page today, it's not about stopping them, it's about slowing them. And if you can do something to curb the amount of yardage they're going to put up on you, you've got a chance. You know, the Bombers have beaten the Eskimos this year. They also lost to them. In the game that they lost to them, I covered here in Winnipeg, and Mike Riley torched them. And they just can't let that happen again. This is a very important football game, and there's so much on the shoulders of that secondary. Interestingly, the Bombers turfed Johnny Adams after last week. He clearly wasn't fitting into their plans. They said he was a free agent at the end of the year, didn't seem interested in re-signing. He also had a bit of a bonehead play, maybe more than a bonehead play, where he didn't cover a fumble when he had a chance in the Calgary game, and then they ended up losing by 2 points. They could have stopped the field goal there. So he's gone. They've got brought in Terrence Frederick. They've also got TJ Heath in here, still in the lineup from the Toronto Drew Willey trade, and I think they feel like they're happy with the secondary, but it's going to have to be very, very strong against a team like Edmonton.
Let's move over to the Jets and the Edmonton Oilers. Winnipeg fans very excited, it sounds like, to see Patrick Laine for the first time. He'll play in a line with Patan. He's not going to start with Scheifele and Wheeler. And I know a lot of people think he's probably not going to start there to start the season. I read his comments today. He's obviously very excited. This is what he's here for. This is a kid who feels like, you know, he's going to ensure he starts the season in Winnipeg as a no-brainer in their top six. What do you see happening?
Well, I think he does expect to do that, but, you know, it's been interesting. He hasn't been very comfortable in training camp. I've been talking to him a lot, watching him, talking to the coaching staff. He hasn't been overly comfortable. He's not, you know, this is a very different situation for him. He's 18 years old. He's left his home in Finland. He's never really played in North America before. He's never really played on small ice. And one thing that he continually has told us is that he's never been to a training camp where he had to compete for a job before. It was in Finland, they set the roster and they say, okay, off you go, start playing. You know, he's never been through something like this before, and I don't think he's been comfortable with it, but I think he's starting to warm up, and they've given him some time since he got back from the World Cup, and now they're going to put him in the lineup. And, you know, I think they put him with Joel Armia, who is also a Finn, and he's a second-year NHLer with the Jets, and I think they really feel like maybe that will help him to get a little more comfortable. They had him there with him in practice yesterday, and they're hoping that that'll help him again today. And, you know, I think it's very interesting because he could end up either on a line with Scheifele and Wheeler at some point this season, or he could end up with Brian Little and maybe Drew Stafford or somebody like that to start the year. But interestingly, the Jets are going to start Kyle Connor tonight with Scheifele and Wheeler on the left side. And he had his debut last night and had an excellent game. So the Jets have a lot of prospects that they're excited about. All eyes on Laine tonight, though, no question.
When you look at the Jets and, of course, the Jacob Trouba situation, I'm sure people talk about it every day. I don't see it changing right away. I see the Jets not making any sort of move with him before the season starts. What do you think? I think they're going to try to remain patient, see how the season goes, and see if the kid really misses the game and suddenly wants to sign a deal.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I wrote a column today saying I don't think the Jets should do anything about it. I certainly don't think they should cave to his wishes and trade him because, as you guys in Edmonton know, if you are a draft and develop team, you have to hang on to the guys that you draft, especially if they're good ones. If you have guys coming along 3 years after they were drafted saying, we want out, and you let them out, what are the next guys that are coming along going to think? I think it's very important to the Jets and to all small market teams, Canadian teams in particular, that you don't cave to a player like that. And I don't see it really happening. I mean, he asked for a trade in May, we hear, and the Jets didn't do anything with it since then. So I don't think they're in any rush. I think they hold all the cards, and I think the Trouba camp is going to have to play the next move, most likely.
Do you think he wants out strictly because of playing the right side, or is there more to the story?
I don't think that that's the whole reason. I don't see why it would be. I think if you're a right-handed shot and there's other right-handed shots that are ahead of you on the depth chart, you try to beat them out. And if you can't beat them out, you play where you have to play to get your minutes. That's the way I look at it. I've heard other people say it, and I think that he needs to do that as well. But I think he knows that. I think you know that you don't just say, well, there's better players here than me, and I want to be a better player somewhere else, so I'm going to ask for a trade. You don't know for sure that you're going to be a better player wherever you go anyway, or you're going to get a better opportunity wherever you go. I think it's an excuse, personally, and I think he does want out of here. I'm not sure exactly why, but it doesn't seem like he really wants to be a part of this organization, and I think obviously that has to be a concern to the Jets. I don't think they want to, have a player here who doesn't want to be here, but they can't. They have to do everything here on their own terms. They can't let him force their hand.
Straight up, who do you think is a better player now and will be in 4 years? Tyler Myers or Jacob Trouba?
I think it's pretty close, but I think Tyler Myers is better now. And I think Jacob Trouba will be better in 4 years. And I think it's close.
Okay.
I'd say Myers is a better offensive player than Jacob Trouba is right now. Maybe that's because Tyler Myers gets more opportunities offensively than Jacob Trouba does. But Myers plays a good game. You know, he's not as physical as Trouba by any means, but he certainly, you know, he's got a great reach, and he takes pucks away and he takes position away from players. I could have seen the Jets just as easily asking Myers to play on the other side and then let Trouba play there. That's why I don't think that's what this is about. I think it's more about him wanting to be the number one guy on the right side, and he's not beating out Dustin Byfuglien for that role right now on this team.
As always, Ted, we appreciate the rundown. One last one on defense. Josh Morrissey, does he crack the lineup on the left side this year?
Well, if Trouba's not back in camp, I think he has a pretty good chance. He's already played two games. He's going to get another one tonight. He's a good skater. He's a good puck mover. My only concern with him is that he's very similar body type and playing style to Toby Enstrom, who's also going to be on the left side. And I think maybe there won't be much physicality there at all. And I think that might be something other teams could exploit. So that might be a problem for the Jets, but they like Morrissey, and I see him getting a chance for sure.
Ted, really appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the double dip tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to do football, but keeping a close eye on hockey as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely a bigger game in football for sure. Huge game. Eskimos, if they want any hopes to stay in the West playoff race, they got to win tonight.
Yeah, the Bombers can clinch, I think, with this win and the Toronto loss. So it's a huge game for them.
All right, appreciate your time.
All right, bye-bye.